we are born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong. Fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
There can be only one podcast, and may it be the Princes of the Universe. Hi, folks, I'm Matt.
I'm Bruce.
Hey, we got some movies to talk about.
It's been a while.
It has. So we're going to talk about some of the movies we saw, our general thoughts. We do this every once in a while. It's been fun. It's been a big summer. Unfortunately, I haven't seen many.
You've been a little busy.
Many films. We haven't talked about it. Yeah.
Since it happened, but you know, what's the big news in your life going on these days?
Oh, just twins.
Twins, oh yes.
Which, since then, I've only gotten to see one movie in theaters, and I just forgot, I just added that to the list, because we're definitely talking about that.
And, Matt now has twin girls.
Yep.
I've got a two-year-old boy who needs a lady in his life. And I figure, I'll give you a couple goats, you give me your Legends collection, and we can steal this deal now.
So the first movie we're going to talk about is Shazam. DC's new look. What would you call this? Is this a reboot of their universe?
I think it's a soft boot of the
soft
universe.
Boot.
I think they're going to, moving forward, the movies will have some mild references to each other, but they won't really connect. They're all going to be doing their independent things, but they will have, some toss-overs, but nothing major.
All right, so what did you think about Shazam?
It was fun.
I think it is the best DC movie, but Still, that's not saying much.
There's nothing but garbage out there. I had a good time with it. It was fun. It wasn't great.
I really thought
it was going to be better than it was.
It was not great. I was very disappointed for the one reason that 80%, maybe 90% of all the jokes were in the trailers. I wish they hadn't done that. I wish they would have kept some of those away, but they did that so you go in. But the whole time we're watching him train to be Shazam, every single joke was revealed in one of the
not
trailers.
The best joke. Best joke being, can't hear you.
Well, that was a good one, but that was way later on. That wasn't a training regime one. And that was funny. And then there was another time I laughed, too.
I can't remember when the trailer really stuck with the first hour of the movie.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
They hid a lot. And the thing is, most trailers nowadays ruin everything. The trailer did not ruin the
story. They ruined a bunch of the jokes.
Early jokes.
Like I said, I think 80% of the jokes were in the trailers.
All early.
I was disappointed because I was like, oh man, you should have saved some of these jokes. Because some of them are really good. But, we're supposed to care about his foster family, which we don't really see that much of, toward the end. I don't care. Spoilers for everything. But anyway, so the bad guy's going to take a whole his family hostage. Guess what? I don't care. Besides the kid.
If you're familiar with the characters, you know who those people are.
You're
just wondering, are they really going to do this?
If they had killed some of them off, that'd have been nice. But you can't do that. And then they're all the Marvel family. I just really didn't care about at all either. So there's a lot of stuff I'm like, they had good. I'd like to see a sequel. Maybe I just don't need to watch the trailer. If I hadn't watched the trailer, I would have loved this movie.
Maybe.
Unfortunately, I saw the trailer and I saw 80% of the funny stuff. And the rest of the stuff was not that good. Not that impressive. And you're right, at the big battle, I can't hear you. What? You're on the other side of the building.
There's lots of traffic.
It was great. That was great. I laughed at that one. There's another scene that I really laughed at, too, and I can't remember what it was. But those were, besides the stuff that's already in the movie, I didn't laugh at anything else. I was like, I just felt bad. I was like, I wish they would have put that in the trailer. But is it the best DC movie? Yeah, because everything else sucks. Will it be the best DC? No. If I was to rank Shazam in the Marvel Universe, it would only beat, three Marvel movies, in my opinion.
Really?
I have to think about that, but I think only three Marvel movies it would be.
Talking about one of them.
We are talking about one. Let's go ahead and talk about it. It would definitely be Captain Marvel.
Oh, you didn't like Captain Marvel?
Oh, my gosh.
What was wrong with Captain Marvel?
How did Nick Fury get his eye taken out? Here's one thing.
He trusted somebody.
What a waste.
I know.
What a waste of a good story. You made it into a joke?
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye. And this is where you're going with that?
That's just awful. It's all. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. It's the dumbest. I don't know. There's and then the whole thing about I'm fine with it being taking place in the 90s. I like looking at a young Coulson.
And really, I like a young Samuel Jackson. The Coulson was not as good, but Samuel Jackson looked fantastic.
Well, no, I mean it was okay. I didn't mind. I know the CGI was a little.
I liked
iffy,
seeing
but
the 90s. It definitely, you know, it was a little on the nose 90s, but still was fun.
I get what they were going for, and I'm totally for it. I was totally for it. So I'm totally for the idea. But then Captain Marvel goes to, I don't trust or know anyone, to, hey, Nick Fury, I like you. Let's team up. Why?
Well, and don't forget.
She didn't do that to anyone else.
Don't forget.
Else.
You know, she was a completely flat character. Who everybody was saying, you've got to control your emotions. She showed no emotions point in the movie whatsoever.
She was like Batman, emotionless. I mean, seriously, the whole movie. And when they tried to give her her little cutesy dialogue with Nick Fury, it's like, what are you doing?
And you know, it fell flat because at no point in the movie did she struggle with anything.
No.
But she got the power up, and so she could just walk through everybody like they were not there.
There's no story arc whatsoever. It's a shame because, to be honest, I mean, keep the actress in there, have a director actually tell her how to act, and I think you've got a good movie here because the idea, the premise, that this takes in the 90s, that is Captain Marvel getting used to Earth and finding out who she is.
And there's a rumor going forward that more Marvel movies will be period sets. And so, like, you know, we got the Black Widow movie coming out. Never mind.
Okay, I don't know. But I'm saying is Captain Marvel was a great idea that was wasted. It was, and I'm mad that it was wasted because it could have been a great film, and yet it. Oh gosh! I think Doctor Strange beat it. And that's embarrassing when Doctor Strange beats you.
Annabelle loved it.
Well, I did not. Megan was bored. It was for Megan. It ranks below. I have to ask her. Black Panther or Captain Marvel. One of those are her least favorites.
Oh, so because you're racist and sexist.
That's exactly what it was. Black Panther was it was a failure from the launch because everyone told me it was the best Marvel movie ever made. You didn't. I think it's the best one. I said, what? Better than the Avengers? Yeah, better than the Avengers. What?
It's one of the better Marvel
movies. Everyone said, so I was like, okay. It had some of the most horrible CGI since Daredevil.
Blade 2, Daredevil.
I mean, it was bad. Yeah. It was really bad. I was like, this is an awful movie. And then blue screen. You could tell. It was an awful blue screen. I mean, it looked like, at times, this movie came out maybe in the early 2000s. I was like, what is going on here? I mean, it's sloppy.
It was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh my gosh, it's such a sloppy film. It's very uninteresting. The whole, you know, the poor Africa, Wakanda has all the technology to make you better, but they say screw you.
Not anymore.
You know, yeah. Okay. Anyway, did you like Captain Marvel?
Okay.
I didn't dislike it. All right, so you saw Dark Phoenix. I saw it, but it was called X-Men 3 back then. So what did you think about Dark Phoenix?
Same scriptwriter.
Was it really?
So this time he directed too.
Oh boy!
But it was his attempt to, to make up for X3, and I think even he admits that he didn't.
To be honest, I enjoyed X3. Mm-hmm. I disagree with everyone else.
It's one of those I keep telling myself I need to go back and rewatch.
Everyone was pissed because Bryan Singer left, and they wanted Bryan Singer, and so they automatically went in there thinking I won't like this. I went in there saying, okay, well, let's see what they can do. And I said, actually, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good film.
I have not seen it in so long. I really can't. I mean, I remember not liking it, but maybe it was just...
Kelsey Grammer as the Beast. I enjoyed it. I like him. He was a good pick for the Beast. It's great. It ties up... Well, it doesn't tie up, but the Jean Grey Wolverine storyline is there that's great. I mean, it's really a pretty solid film.
Yeah,
I mean, does it beat X2? No. I'm not trying to say this is the best one of this trilogy, but it's not bad. It's like Jurassic Park 3. The only thing that beats Jurassic Park 3 is Jurassic Park and Lost World. Okay? Jurassic Park 3 in its own is not that bad of a movie. Sure, it doesn't beat the other two. It's like X-Men. X-Men 3 is not better than X-Men 1 or 2, but it's not a bad film.
I'm going to give it a shot next time.
Yeah, X-Men 3 gets all this crap, and it's not bad. I mean, you look at... I say X-Men 3 is better than... I want to see X-Men Origins again.
No.
The no. No, no, not Origins. Wolverine Origins
is just bad.
And then The Wolverine, which I thought was blah. I thought it was okay.
That's, yeah,
Days of
there.
Future Past is really good. That's maybe the best one out of the new movie. That's the best one. That's the only one that beats X3. Hold on. Let me think about that before I say that. No, Logan beats X3 too. Logan was fantastic. That was a good one. But it beats The Wolverine, it beats Wolverine Origins, and it beats every new film except for Days of Future Past. So it beats X-Men Origins, it beats X-Men Armageddon, whatever the other one was, which was...
Apocalypse.
It was so forgettable. It wasn't bad,
that was
but it,
kind of, yeah,
it wasn't bad, but was wasn't, it was... Yeah. It felt like a TV episode or something.
The thing is, the Dark Phoenix... You know, you remember, we had Phoenix appear in Apocalypse. But that was kind of completely ignored. The continuity.
I know,
of the
that was really
movies,
well. Yeah, what was yeah. with that? Because they even said the Phoenix, right?
No, this time there's actually an external Phoenix Force that she's bonded with, like comic books. It's done differently, but it's done in a movie way. And so it's done differently. Mm-hmm. There's no reference to where she Phoenixed out before. And, you know, they make reference because she, you know, appeared to die, gain the power, and come back. Right. That's why the kids call her Phoenix.
Days of Future Past has Quicksilver, right?
He was in 3. He is third.
No, but he was introduced in Days of Future Past, right? Quicksilver.
Yes. Yeah, the one scene.
And he was great.
And even the scene in Apocalypse was the best part of Apocalypse. Where he,
oh no, he was good. He was good in that one too. He's a good character. He's better than the MCU.
No, though this time it was just like, he can do a lot. So let's find a way to write him out.
I know, it's stupid. It's like he's one of the best characters they've ever had.
You know, two of the best X-Men scenes were him in two movies. And
that's
we're
true.
Sort of like,
that's
like,
true.
And they go start it and then ruin it and stop it and get rid of him so, you know, because he would fix all the problems. If they
Terrible ideas. I mean, even Days of Future Past isn't perfect because they shoehorn, oh, what is her name? She's the worst thing about those movies. Mystique. The new Mystique.
No,
I hate her.
She's not around too long this time.
I know. But she's awful in Days of Future Past. And the thing is, it should have been Rogue. And it originally was supposed to be Rogue, right?
Yeah.
And it would have made way more sense if it was Rogue. But it, I don't know. They just wanted, hey, Mystique, everyone loves... What is that girl's name?
The Mockingjay?
I don't know. Anyway, she's an idiot. I can't stand her. All right, so anyway, saw that. We'll go to something I saw. I tried to watch Star Trek Discovery Season 2.
And you loved it. You told me all about it.
I made it through a third of the way. I can't do anymore.
But everybody says it's better.
Everyone says it's better. Here's the thing. They took fan suggestions and shoehorned them. I mean, really shoehorned to make it... Yeah, you got it right, fans. Look, ha-ha, it was this the whole time. And ha-ha, here's this. And... it's so much. There's pandering when it's convenient. They'll shoehorn things, but they still want to do their own thing. But it's like they have to put stuff in that the fans will like, so they'll get another season approved. And it's ham-fisted fan service. It's disgusting. The show is horrible. The lead character is awful, awful, awful. She is so boring. She has no story arc. She does not grow as a character. To be honest. Maybe the girl with the red hair is the only one that's been interesting to me.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And that's it. Oh, well, good. Don't even watch it. But I'm done with Discovery for good now. If I watch the first episode or two episodes, people go, no, you gotta keep watching. Okay, well, I watched 5 of the, 12 episodes? No, there's 14 episodes. That's roughly one-third.
It was episode 6 that really picked up.
Man. Yeah, whatever. No chance. I mean, it was so bad. And then... Whatever Connie Chung's name is, I don't know. That's not her name. I don't know. I'm so glad diversity exists so I could get this role. Girl, she reads. I'm positive she reads cue cards off camera for her line. Her lines are that flat. She's awful. It's grating on my soul to watch her She's not acting. She's just reading lines. It's awful. But yeah, Discovery season two. Sorry, done with Star Trek. I will watch Patrick Stewart's one.
No, because it is Patrick Stewart.
I am more interested in that one because the original Next Generation.
At least he will be good.
I think it can be good.
It can be. We'll see.
It's going to be different. It's going to take place in the Prime universe, which is much better. Much better. All right, so you finally saw Creed 2.
Yes, I did.
And what did you think?
It was okay. But there was a nugget of a movie in there that could have been truly great.
Okay.
Think about it.
I know where you're going with this.
Well, my thought, it should have just been called Drago and focus on him.
I agree. He was the greatest.
Creed being the villain-ish type character. Still, everything happens the exact same way it happens in the movie. Because really, the best arc was that father and son connection.
It was great. And Drago is the best character.
I was rooting for him.
It's amazing. These are all, we're seeing the fallout from Rocky IV.
Yes.
On Drago's side, which I thought was amazing. Megan felt bad for him.
I know.
We feel bad for the bad guy that we hated.
First, they bring in the mom from the original actress that played her in Rocky IV. And, you know, that was a good scene.
They brought her back for one, though. She was in one. Creed 1. She was in the first Creed.
No, we're talking about Drago's mom.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought she meant Creed's mom.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and that was a heartbreaking scene, the way that she treats him.
And then how everyone disrespects him
at
the table. And you feel for him. And you're feeling for the bad guy. And Megan felt bad. She's like, I know he's the bad guy, but I feel bad for him. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant.
You know, part of me was even like, you know, he needs to win.
And then when he comes in and sits down with Sylvester Stallone and Rocky, best scene. Best scene when he's in that restaurant.
And it would have been a Rocky ending, even though he lost the match, it was a moral victory for him. Because he reconnected properly with his dad. And you know, you would have had the good, you know, yeah, he didn't win the match, but he won in life.
Another thing that I like, though, is Rocky also reconnects with his son from Rocky Balboa. Same actor. Really happy to see that. That's what bothered me about Creed is that after all that buildup in Balboa, which is fantastic, they have to rip it up or Creed doesn't exist. I understand why they had to do it. Because if he has a good relationship with his son, why would he care about Creed? No, me and my son are together. That's what's most important to me. So, you know, he has to train Creed and he has to get that. So now they're bringing his son back in. Great. The thing is, Creed 2, it's a fine movie. It's my least favorite of the Rocky series. Okay, movies, just to be honest, Rocky 5 beats Creed 1 and Creed 2. Rocky 5 is just a solid film.
I really thought the first Creed movie was just a step above. It's definitely one of my favorite Rocky movies.
Creed 2. It's a remake of Rocky V.
But it should have been Drago. They could have made a truly great
movie. I totally agree. If they would have,
they could have played Creed just like Apollo in the originals, where you like him.
Yes.
But he's the bad guy.
Yes. It's great.
And, you know, and it would play good with his story arc.
The next spinoff should be Drago now.
He's too much like his dad, and he had to learn. And still win. You know, everything happens the exact same way. It's just focus on Drago more.
I agree.
That would have been a more interesting movie.
I would have loved to have seen it because the best scenes were Drago and Balboa again. And I'm sorry, but Creed is not interesting. The kid is not interesting. It's weird because his dad, Apollo Creed, was a very interesting character. Very great character. I know that son can't be like the dad. And they got to get the new school kid in there. I get that, but he's just not that interesting. The story, I'm sorry, it revolves around Rocky for me still. I mean, the best thing in Creed 1, the reason why Creed 1 is so good is that Rocky gives that speech. You're living in the future, kid. I'm in the past. That's a great speech he gives. All my friends are dead. You know, it's just, man. So, I don't know. Are they done with Rocky now? Is Creed 2 it?
So Stallone has said he's done.
He's done his Rocky?
Yeah.
That's sad.
You know, the thing is, you know, it seems like he's wrapping up everything. We're getting. Have you seen
Last Blood?
Last Blood.
Yeah. I remember watching them with you. We watched all three. If you remember. Oh boy, I don't like Rambo. Now I didn't see the other Rambo. The Rambo he did a few years back.
The thing is,
my dad said that's his favorite Rambo.
The original First Blood is a truly great movie, and the Rambo movie is just a lot of fun. It's just everything.
My dad said that's his favorite one in the series.
It's, yeah, if you like to see somebody shoot people with 50 cal.
Now, he did this after Balboa, right? He did
It was kind of come back at that time, all the characters. And this seems to be a farewell time.
Is Rocky going to die? Is his last blood.
And speaking of old movies with new movies, did you see the trailer for the new Terminator?
Oh, yeah. Can't do it.
It's got about the director of Deadpool.
Oh man. Genesis was so. What was the last one? Genesis.
No, this goes back to James Cameron. It's not followed up on any of that. The director of Deadpool.
I can't do it. It's gonna have to come out in video. I can't do it. I don't have
it.
It's kind of
flat.
I don't have any. The thing is, here's the thing with me. Besides Genesis, I enjoy the series. I love Salvation.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I like Genesis.
When I saw Salvation, I was like, "Finally, we're done time traveling. We're gonna get to the war." And I thought that's what the trilogy should. I know it was originally supposed to linger on, but I was like, "Finally, we get to see an end to this." You know, now he gets to end and freedom and everything. You know, we don't have to look in the past anymore. I like the direction Terminator was going. I enjoyed T3.
I'm curious where this new one is going. I mean,
I have no idea.
There's no John Connor, apparently. Sarah Connor shows up. She tells this other girl that I was once you. So, I mean, is it now? Because she
thought that was the Sarah Connor for Genesis.
No, Sarah was dead by 4-3. You know, she's been dead since 3. So this is a complete reboot. And I'm assuming that this only has the continuity of 1 and 2 at this point. And, you know, because Sarah was supposedly dead.
It's a shame because 3 and Salvation were fine films. I have no problem with them.
And my assumption is they're going with 1 and 2, they stopped that Judgment Day, and now there's a new Judgment Day because it's now modern day. We should have already, they're already passed in our timeline, Judgment Day.
Here's the thing.
And so now there's a new Sarah Connor that she's protecting. Now, I'm not quite sure how it works. I don't know how we have an old Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator. I don't know any of this stuff.
It won't be 2 or 1.
But no.
I know that for sure. One is surprisingly, if anyone hasn't seen 1 in a while, 1 is only beaten by 2.
The thing is,
Reese is fantastic.
It's a horror movie.
The movie is great. The only reason it's not number 1 is because Terminator 2 was created.
It's fantastic.
But it is I remember Dad that had us watch that one first before, because he wanted to see Terminator 2. And he loved the Terminator, so we watched Terminator first, and I was freaky. Having his body missing and going after her and grabbing her and everything, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm screaming. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then 2 is just,
He is, in the first movie, he's Jason. I mean, he's just this unstoppable force that's always coming for you.
It's great. You know what else is great? What We Do in the Shadows. I don't know. We may have mentioned this movie in the past. It's a mockumentary. If anyone's seen This Is Spinal Tap, it's great. It's like This Is Spinal Tap, but with vampires.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit when we talked about Thor 3, because it's got the same
creator, did we? Okay.
Same director, and I enjoyed Thor 3, and I thought it was funny, and people were saying, same guy, if you like Thor 3, you really need to go see What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows, you have to see. It's a mockumentary of 3 vampires living together, and basically in an English flat, and that's
New
about
Zealand.
It.
It's New Zealand.
New Zealand. Excuse me, you're right. It's New Zealand. And they're just, living their life, and the camera's crew is following them around. It's great.
The thing is, it's also the people behind Flight of the Conchords, the HBO show.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have.
Fantastic show.
Yeah. But this is, it's just brilliant. I turned it on just to have something to watch while I was eating my lunch one day, and ended up sitting down and watching the whole thing. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really, I said, what is this? Okay, I'll check it out. And loved it. Now, there's a TV show. By the way, my favorite line in the movie, I can't really quote here.
But about sandwiches.
No, I'm going to quote it. I'm going to bleep it out, but he goes, because you want to know why no, you need to see the movie. I can't ruin it. You got to see the movie. It's why they enjoy virgin blood, and it's not as filthy as you think. It is really funny,
and you can relate. You can be like, yeah,
and
I get that.
And when the comparison he makes is so hilarious. And then the smile he gives afterwards. It's just great. So anyway, it's they made a TV show on Fox. FX. And I enjoy FX shows.
I haven't watched it yet, so no spoilers.
No spoilers. I enjoy FX shows, generally speaking. In fact, now I haven't seen every FX show, let that be known. But every FX show I have seen and given a shot is awesome. I enjoyed Rescue Me. I love The Shield. I thought, what was the business one with Glenn Close?
Damages
was great. I didn't even want to see that. Someone made me watch the first few episodes with him, and I was hooked. And The League, I enjoyed. That was FX. Oh, The League's great. I don't even care about football. Fantasy football, that was really good. There's another one that I saw, too.
Sons of Anarchy?
Sons of Anarchy is FX. I love Sons of Anarchy. But there's another one I've seen, too, that just, it seemed to be shorter. I can't remember. But just about everything that's premiered on FX, I have enjoyed. Anything I've watched. Was Justified FX.
I think so.
Yeah, so Justified is also on there, too. Maybe that was it. But they just make great TV shows. So, when I found out, I didn't even know. This flew under the radar for me.
The thing is, I knew about it. I saw the trailer. I wasn't impressed by the trailer.
Okay, well, and I didn't even see the trailer. I just found out, and this was during the season was going on. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What are we doing? The Shadows of the Movie? It's a TV show? And I was like, shut up. Well, then I watched the first episode. I see that it's three different vampires. They're living in Staten Island, New York. And I was like, oh, they're just going to rehash what the movie was? No, it's better than the movie. And I love the movie. And I can't believe, I cannot wait to tell my friends at work. Because I told my friends when I first saw What We Do in the Shadows, I said, you got to see this. And they didn't. Months later, they go, oh my gosh, Matt, have you seen What We Do in the Shadows? I said, that's the movie I kept telling you need to go see. They said, oh, Matt's hilarious. And so now that the TV show's there, I've got to tell them to check out the TV show because the TV show is unbelievably good. It's not for kids. I want to say that. Don't be watching it with the kiddies. But because FX can get away with a lot these days.
Yeah, they were pushing it back in the day.
There's some F-bombs, though.
Really?
In this one, yeah. Unless I have unless I saw an unedited.
It's possible if you were watching. How would they have an unedited already? Normally, like that.
No, it was a TV rated. So they have some F-bombs in there. Not many. I mean, you know. Actually, yeah, they do. I don't know. It was very R-rated, but it's great. It's hilarious. I sat there and just laughed and laughed and laughed. There are so many great. The best one is the trial. There's a cameo from all three original vampires from the movie to show you it's in the same world. And then they have a lot of other guest stars, too. And it is hilarious. It gets funnier and funnier. One is so far into left field. You know who the actor is, but then you realize who he's playing, and it's even funnier because it didn't hit me. At first, I was like, oh, that's funny. And then the second time they showed him, I was like, oh, wait, he's playing. And I fell out laughing because it just hit me. Because at first, you're just laughing because it's the actor, but then you realize who there's a role he's playing, and it connects to something else, which is really, really great. If you can get that, you'll get it. You'll get it. But, man, I cannot wait for you to see that episode. Anyway, the whole series is just funny. It's just funny. Not for kids, but really funny. So I've enjoyed that one. You know, something else I saw was The Death of Superman Lives. Now, you mentioned
I know about it. I do want to see it. It's on my list, but I haven't gotten any streaming services that have it yet.
Yeah, basically, Superman Lives is was going to be Tim Burton's Superman story. Now, I never knew. I always knew that it was rumored, but I didn't know how close it was to being made. They had set pieces. They had models. They had...
I remember seeing pictures of Cage in the costume.
They have video of him, test footage of him as Clark Kent, and they show it all. They had the Superman costume. The one you see is not the final version. That was one of them. But they show all this test footage. They ILM did test footage for them on how he was going to take flight. And they had a guy dressed as Superman taking flight. They had completed footage of that. So this thing was rip-roaring and ready to go. And when they asked for the budget, Warner Brothers bought because they had so many bombs the past few years, they just waited too long to get everything done. It never got made. And Tim Burton supposedly walked out screaming. And Tim Burton actually gets interviewed in this.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith gets interviewed with this, even though you know all of Kevin Smith's stories.
Yeah, he's from told his story many times.
He's done a tell-all about it. But they oh, the guy who he talked to, who wanted the giant spider and everything,
yeah.
They talked to him. And he says Kevin Smith's a liar. About the no flights, no tights.
Yeah.
And he said that was a lie. So they just didn't. You can tell that they just don't like. There's some animosity between Smith and Burton too.
Yeah.
In a way, because Burton didn't like his scripts, so get out of here. So I guess Kevin Smith got all hurt about it.
They butted head a few times over the years.
But yeah, and they've gone at it. I know in the past when Planet of the Apes came out,
yeah.
Kevin Smith jokingly accused him.
He says it was a joke. It's hard to tell. Was it really joking?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But the thing is, though, obviously there's some bad blood there and some bad blood all around. But the thing is, it is very interesting to hear Tim Burton talk about it, to see all the stuff. I mean, they showed all the test footage and everything. I did not know that they had this thing ready to go. I mean, they were just, all the pre-work had been done. I believe Chris Rock had already been gotten the call and gotten the offer to be Jimmy. Because he came in and told, they did an interview with another actor, said, yeah, Chris Rock came in and says, guess who? Superman's best friend, Jimmy Olsen. No, he like, just got the call that he was going to be Jimmy. And they're going through the short list with him and say, who would you have for this person? Who'd you have for this? Like, they had Sandra Bullock for Lois Lane, but I think she turned them down at the time.
Very 90s.
And they were trying to find, yeah, very 90s, but they were trying to find Lois Lane. They had other people on the short list. And it's funny to hear Tim Burton go, we were thinking about them? Maybe their name came across. I don't know. It's like, you know. But he's still kind of up. He said, ask me when I'm 99. He said, maybe I won't be upset about it. But he's still kind of ticked off that he didn't get to make this movie because he wanted to. And the idea he had is the idea that Quentin Tarantino actually pulls out in his Kill Bill Part 2, where Superman's the weirdo. He's the alien. He's the loner. And they wanted Clark Kent to be this kind of weird guy who's not in touch with humanity. You know, he's kind of awkward. And, of course, Nicolas Cage. People say, well, Nicolas Cage as Superman would be awful. Well, guess what? No one, this is before the internet, no one wanted Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton was a comic actor, and they went, Michael Keaton as Batman. No.
The thing is, if you recall, the time this was being done, Nick Cage was at his peak.
Yeah. And they said and Nick Cage was going to keep his long hair because Superman had long hair at that time.
He had the mullet going on.
Mm-hmm. So they said Nicolas Cage made a lot of sense, especially the kind of character he wanted to be. He wanted Nicolas Cage to be this kind of, you know, Clark Kent is awkward, but not just, he's socially awkward because he doesn't understand how humans work. It was about Superman's lack of humanity. You know, he's an alien. He just can't fit in with this world. And they were going to do a little sideways take on it. But like how Michael Keaton, you know, now everyone loves Michael Keaton as Batman. But the thing is, though, he said even before the internet, there was outrage. Fans were writing in, and Michael Keaton had his acceptance speech for Best Actor on an award. He won the award. Said, just want to tell everyone who wrote all those letters, you know, keep telling me I can't do it, you know. Just encourages me to do it more. But, I mean, lots of people, and he said back in the day, he said, these days, that move would never have been approved. There have been so much fan outrage, the company would have got, production company would have gotten cold feet and said, change it. Big Richard said, change it. Don't do him. And he's right. He's right there. So it's actually an enjoyable film. It goes a little long in the tooth, unless you really love Superman and you really want to know about this. But there's way more that was created for this movie than I thought.
Yeah.
Like, they show models that are completed.
It was a long way. It was to the point of, it's about as far as you can get not making money.
Without film. It was. And that's what surprised me. I didn't know it was that far along. So, The Death of Superman Lives, well worth your time. Bruce mentioned another one when I mentioned
Doomed. And there was one that came out about the same time called Doomed, about the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie. I watched this, and it was a lot of fun. It just talks about really how it was just, it goes in, you know, the actors were hired on to make this movie. They all thought it was going to be their big break, you know, with Batman being such a big deal. It was like, oh, we're making our superhero movie. We're going to be big actors now. And it was just, you know, a ploy by the by the company to hold the rights. And, you know, it goes into all that and history. And, you know, it's a fun documentary. You know, you feel bad for the actors because they got duped by the whole thing. And,
right.
You know, and they're embarrassed by the whole thing now. But it you know, again, if you like behind the stage of superhero movies, you know, these are good documentaries.
Agreed. However, the best movie ever to hit theaters was John Wick 3. You haven't seen it.
Can't talk about it.
Okay, I'll just tell you this. We went 1 month after it already premiered. 1 month. We went in the daytime. Like the first afternoon show on a Tuesday. It was half packed. 1 month on a Tuesday daytime. We didn't have trouble finding a seat, but it was pretty, it was like half full. I was like, are you kidding me? Now, Tuesday is discount day. I understand that.
I've heard great things.
But this is not a superhero movie. And for it to be half full, it's still a superhero movie. and they already built it to a 4 because the John Wick movies are just banging it right now. But 3 is the best one.
I've heard lots of people say that.
By far, 3 is the best one, and it's unbelievably good. In fact, I probably shouldn't have been laughing at all the scenes I was laughing at, but I was laughing not because it was silly. I was laughing because I was loving it's over-the-top action, but it's great. And you cannot help but laugh. I was... No spoilers here, but you know what happens at the end of 2.
Yes.
Okay. 10 minutes have passed since 2 and 3, and there, you know, he gives him a sporting chance of an hour. So he's trying to get his affairs in order before that hour's up. And once the hour hits, actually a little bit before because someone cheats, but once the hour hits, it is just non-stop for like 20 minutes.
And
Fight after fight after fight, and it's all friggin'. It starts.
I'm told it's like the best car scene you've ever seen in a movie ever, and the, you know, the
he's in an antique store. He's on a horse.
Yeah, I heard the horse. People talk about the horse.
It's great. It's great. He's on a motorcycle, and it's great.
And I hear one of the things that they do is, you know, you watch one, you watch two, you think there's some discontinuity. In the way, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy that...
he has to go back and get his car from...
The lead of the Continental, the guy that has the Continental. You know, they... You know, yeah. In the first movie, the girl breaks the rules, it's done.
Right.
He gives John Wick some leeway. I hear they kind of... You know, some people were complaining with in 2.
Well, it was different. It was different.
But don't go into the details.
1 is between assassins. 2 was... Well, you know 2. 2 was on holy ground. Well, holy ground, but you know, it was on safe ground. Man. And then there are ninjas, too.
I know there's ninjas, but I don't want to know the details. I get little snippets here and there, and I need to stop it. I want to cut the snippets.
He grabs a few things, and you don't know what they are. And my wife's like, where's those? I don't know. They're going to tell us in the movie. Sure enough, they explain what each item was, what John Wick gets. And they obviously had this thing planned out. Obviously not since 1. Maybe they had
one they just made. Then they went back.
Maybe they had it planned out since 2. Because they obviously had this planned out. But they had this world of assassins built out pretty good. How it ends is brilliant. And then, how it ends. This is really weird. Oh, man, the ending's good,
just,
too. No,
just stop talking.
You got to see this movie. But the ending's... The ending is so good.
Talk about it again.
I can't. Oh my gosh. But there's a gunfight. There you go.
Oh, John Wick. Oh my goodness. You spoiled the whole thing.
Now, there's a gunfight at the end, which is unbelievable. It's good. And then part 2 of the same gunfight happens again. John Wick goes back to get more guns. It's even better. I mean, I was laughing in theaters, and I was the only one laughing. But I was laughing because it was just so daggum good. Then you have something happen in the end. Then you have the ending, which sets up for the fourth one, which is just going to be... what can happen next? Anything. The world. John Wick versus the world now. He's just so good. He is so good. I love Keanu Reeves. He got me to watch Constantine again. I watched Constantine again. I forgot to tell you.
How was the whole
I remember that I liked it until the end. I didn't really like the ending that much.
I've been wanting to go back and revisit.
It was kind of dumb. You know, Gabriel was just not a good character, and they went the obvious path, which I was like, oh, you can see that coming from the very beginning. That's awful. I forgot that they telegraphed that, and I was like, oh yeah, the twist that wasn't a twist. And I hate when they do that, and it wasn't that good. The guy that played Satan, they did all right with, but he wasn't that menacing. He wasn't that powerful. I don't know. The ending just kind of blew it out. You know,
I remember liking the world building
was good. They were headed in a good direction.
Like that crucifix shotgun.
There's a lot of good stuff in it. But the ending was so cliche. And you could see it coming from a mile. There was no surprises. And I was like, So they kind of farted at the end. But, you know, the beginning was pretty good. And I remember thinking that when I saw it. I was like, oh, this is going to be really good. The ending's kind of flat. But it got me to watch Constantine again because I just love Keanu Reeves now. Wait, he needs to be in.
Everybody loves Keanu
Bill and
Reeves
Ted
now.
3. Make it. I don't even care about those movies, but make them. He wants them. He can have them. Man, he's great. John Wick 3, best movie. Movie of the day. There are certain movies that you enjoy every decade. And this is the movie of the decade right here, 2019. There's not a single one. It's like when a friend of ours, when he saw Last of the Mohicans in theaters, he said they could stop making movies because they just made the best one ever. Now, I want to see him. I want to see him again. Brewer, Kinzel.
Okay.
And guess what Kinzel told us? Do you know Kinzel? Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I want to see if he still thinks that. So I remember him saying, they don't have to make movies anymore. Best movie ever made. And I'll be honest, Last of the Mohicans, fantastic movie. That's a fantastic movie. Is it the best movie? No. I don't know. Because John Wick 3 got created. That's why. It's not good. All right, that's it. That's all I got. You got anything else? We've gone the time here.
You didn't see Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think? I'm not going to watch
super it. Super fun. Not the greatest movie ever made, but again, you won't, if you like.
So much fun, it didn't make any money.
Yeah, that's kind of a bad thing. But, they've already
finished filming.
They already finished filming King Kong versus Godzilla, so we're guaranteed a sequel.
All right. You see a challenge play?
No. You did?
No, I didn't want to watch that garbage.
Our camel.
I hear it's not even child's play. The doll's not evil. He has corrupted programming. That's really what they went with.
Really?
Yes.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah. Someone said that they could have just called it a different movie.
Might have been. And they're like, oh, let's just call it Chucky. We'll sell a couple of tickets.
That's what, spoilers, folks, sorry. That's what they said. They got there's a disgruntled man who got fired, so he releases the safety mechanism on one of the dolls.
So they actually built it with the potential of killing?
Well, now it doesn't have any parameters or whatever. You know, evil computer. It's one of those evil computer stories. It's not really a child's play.
Mm.
Plus, why would a kid have a doll these days?
Yeah, that's true. Kids barely have toys.
Unless he's a...